Here is one question among many after last night. What is Donald Trump's economic vision of America? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Friday, the 22nd of July. Good as always to have you here, everybody. There are, as I said, a whole lot of questions in the wake of the Republican nominee's acceptance speech last night. Ours are of the economic variety. Answers, as many as we can fit in, at least will be forthcoming in the next 4.5 minutes. David Gura is at Bloomberg. Neela Richardson is at Redfin. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Neela, let me start with you and get your sense of Mr. Trump's speech last night as a statement of his economic vision, would you?
Sure. There is no question that the American economy is carrying a lot of baggage. And you feel that in a lot of middle class households. The anger is real and it's based on a real reality of lower household incomes and a feeling of less opportunity. The question is, we didn't get a lot of detail on how to solve it. There was a recognition that it exists, which has gone further than some in the political spectrum. But there were no solutions offered that would necessarily solve the problem.
David Gura, your sense?
Yeah, I think it was one component part of a kind of dystopian vision of America in the year 2016. And you saw Donald Trump again urging sort of us to look inward. He talked about a new Americanism rather than globalism, something that we heard talked about in a different context in the UK before that referendum there on EU membership. You know, you once again heard him touting his business credentials to say that we're going to, you know, lead America back to, I think it was safety, prosperity, and peace. So again, like one component part of what he was saying here. I thought most of the speech did have this sort of dark overtone and was focused mostly on law and order and security. But, you know, it was what we heard a lot of him, a lot of what he heard on the campaign trail.
Right. Okay, so breaking down that economic section, of which there was one, he made much, Neela, of the trade gap. He said our trade in goods last year, our trade deficit was $800 billion last year. Fact of the matter is, and this is the actual number, if we roll in services, right, because that's how we trade on this planet, goods and services, the trade deficit the United States had was $530 billion. So not entirely accurate there. The question, though, is trade as a proxy for the economy. It's becoming, in his speeches and Mrs. Clinton's speeches and also Bernie Sanders' speeches, it's becoming the whole smash trade is.
You know, it's easy to blame trade for the loss of manufacturing jobs here in the U.S., but there's so much more to the story of globalization than that, more than we have time to talk about. But the question, the Trump's policy is really targeted towards Mexico and China, and it boils down to higher tariffs on their imports coming into the United States. That doesn't solve it for the American people because it just increases the cost of these same goods. And in a situation of stagnant incomes, seeing a goods increase does not help families. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it is a recognition of an issue, but not a solution of how to bring about a change in a really positive way for both countries.
David, he spent some time talking last night about the labor force. He said, and this is a quote, 14 million people have left the workforce. The fact of the matter is that since 2008, and this is according to the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the American labor force has actually grown by 5 million people. Fact is, though, David, that the workforce is changing in this country, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Just picking up on something Neela was just talking about, I think that he talked about manufacturing, but he didn't address the problems with productivity. This country is manufacturing an awful lot of goods. It's just doing it with fewer workers, and that's something he didn't really address in that speech last night. You know, I think also getting back to something Neela was saying about the sort of sense that that things are wrong with the economy in this country. I think that we all know somebody who's out of work or somebody who's not working in a job that he or she wants to be working in. He was picking up on something there. You know, I would say that he was selective with the facts here. You know, he talked about African-American unemployment. He sort of exaggerated how many young African-American men and women are out of work. But, you know, as I noted immediately last night, even the real number, which was less than what he said it was, is still a really discouraging number.
It's 38%
or 31%, I think, of African Americans who are 16 and 19 are out of work. So there is some selectivity there, but I think that he was tapping into, you know, something in the zeitgeist there where we feel like the economy just isn't what we think it should be.
Yep, absolutely true. And Neela, quickly now, a point where Mr. Trump was right. He said household incomes are down $4,000 since the year 2000. Fact is, stuck wages, so that was correct, that was accurate. Stuck wages and incomes are among the biggest problems in this economy.
Right. That's 16 years of stuck wages, yeah. Much of which happened under a Republican president and the aftermath of a housing crisis. So the blame was maybe had been misplaced in that speech. However, yeah, this is not a temporary fix. It's not something the Fed can do on its own. Yep. Unfortunately, it needs collaboration between both parties in Congress. That's what's been missing the last 16 years. And that's why we have an economy that's stuck in the mud.
All right. We got a boogie. Neil Richardson at Redfin, David Gura at Bloomberg. Thanks you two for your thoughts.
Thanks, Kai.
Thank you, Kai.
All right. Have a nice weekend.